The epistle for the third Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, be ye followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you as becometh saints, nor obscenity, nor foolish talking, nor scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks, for know ye this and understand, that no fornicator, nor unclean, nor covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. For you were heretofore darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others tempting asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water seeking rest, and not finding he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth, and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the mother that nursed thee. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. These words are taken from the Gospel for the Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Some of you are perhaps familiar with the literary works known as Aesop's Fables. Aesop is said to have been an ancient Greek storyteller who lived about 500 or 600 years before Christ. But little, if anything, is known about his life. And some have even contested that he ever existed. What the truth of the matter is, that we do not know. What we do know is that the fables attributed to Aesop have been used for many centuries, and they have been used as a means of teaching certain lessons and morals. One such story involves four bulls, or oxen, and a lion. The lion had been observing the bulls graze in an open field, and he had tried to attack them several times. But each time he would, the bulls would group together and they would work together to fight off the attack. But the lion did not give up. He was determined to get his prey. And so he prowled about the field, devising a way to kill the bulls. Finally, the lion thought of a plan, and he enlisted the help of a fox to carry it out. The plan, very simply, was this. The four bulls were of different size, stock, and ability. And so the lion set out to use their differences to his advantage. So together with the fox, the lion started a rumor about how different the bulls were from one another, how one bull was better than the others, and so on. In time, word reached the bulls, and soon they began believing what they had heard, and each one started feeling more special than the other. The lion also spread a rumor that if one bull in particular were not with the other three, the lion would not have come for the bulls at all, basically asserting that it was this particular bull's fault that they were all in danger. Eventually, the bulls started quarreling, and finally, they separated from one another. And so when the lion returned for his next attack, he found the bulls in four separate corners of the field, far away from each other. He then hunted, and he killed them one by one. And thus, by breaking the trust and the unity of the bulls with discord and hostility, in this way, the lion was able to achieve his goal. I don't think, my dear friends, that this fable needs much explanation. It speaks volumes for itself. In the Gospel for today's Mass, St. Luke relates these solemn words of our Lord, words which were true at the time of Aesop, words which were true at our Lord's time, and words which still hold true today. Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. Saint Mark, in his gospel, quotes our Lord's words in this way. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. In other words, without unity, a house will fall. And in our time, my dear friends, perhaps more than ever before, we must have unity and harmony among our Catholic people. For today, we Catholics, we who have been blessed with the one true faith, today, we are the minority. We are the minority in the world today. And the world considers us to be, quote unquote, religious extremists. And what is so extreme about what we do? We believe in one true God. We profess one true faith. We have a code of conduct, an upright morality. And we will not compromise these things. To people of the world, that's extreme. Not accepting another religion as true is considered by the world as religious extremism. And as the days go on, there are more and more calls to root out religious extremists. It may only be a matter of time until freedom of religion in our country will be taken away, and our right to openly practice the one true faith will be stripped from us. The day perhaps is coming when it will be a quote-unquote hate crime, punishable by so-called law, to profess pure and entire the Catholic faith and morality openly. This is what we're up against. We are at odds with the world. And not only with the world, we are at odds with the devil himself. The devil who St. Peter says goes about as a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Satan prowls about like the lion in Aesop's fable, seeking to devour his prey. But like the lion in the fable, the devil knows, and he knows quite well, that when the faithful are united like the bulls, when there is harmony among Catholics, the devil knows he does not stand a chance. And so what does he do? Exactly what the lion did. He seeks to sow discord among Catholic people. You know, Pope St. Pius X saw this happening in the early 20th century. He saw the modernists trying to infiltrate the church, yes. But he also saw the devil and the world trying to splinter the faithful. And so he sought to rally the Catholics of his time to unity and harmony among themselves. This is what he said. These, dear faithful, are exceptional times. An attempt is being made to cause discord among the very people of God. Hence, he says, there is all the more need to be united. For the best part of an army lies in the unity and the concord of its soldiers. Continuing, St. Pius X said, for this reason, the faithful should avoid as far as lies within their power what St. Paul mentioned to the Corinthians. They should avoid contentions, envies, animosities, dissensions, detractions, and gossiping. And the faithful, says St. Pius X, should avoid these things because it is in such dissensions that the demon triumphs. Why is it? Why is it that Pope St. Pius X would say that the demon triumphs when there are heated disagreements, resentments, dissensions, and gossip among the faithful? He said this because such a lack of charity among the faithful divides them, and a house divided cannot stand. You might recall in the Middle Ages that the Muslims had some success in spreading their false religion of Islam and in conquering some Catholic kingdoms. Why was this? Mainly because of the disunity among Catholics at the time. The Catholics were too busy fighting among themselves over petty issues to pay any attention to the rise of Islam. And thus, while they occupied themselves with their skirmishes and their grudges, the infidel seized the opportunity. And if it could happen then, it could certainly happen today. Only today, it's not just Islam that is a threat. It's also the diabolical forces of atheistic socialism and communism. Let us, my dear friends, take these things to heart. And let us realize that if we will stand firm against the torrent today, we must stand united in charity. From the earliest times, Catholics have banded together and supported one another in times of difficulty. Whether it was persecution, famine, or plague, Catholics of all times have been there for one another. And so it must be today. We must be united, like the Catholics of old, in the bonds of true charity. Those heroic Catholics of old could not be broken by the pagan emperors, by the pagan governors, by any anti-God, anti-Catholic political force devised by man, because they were united. The union of charity, of course, starts at the home. We must foster a spirit of charity in our homes and among our families. We cannot allow ourselves to become the fox that sows discord by backbiting or gossiping, by anger or bickering. And we cannot be the bull that listens to the backbiting and gossip of others. We cannot allow ourselves to facilitate or cause division in the home. We must strive rather to foster true charity in our families and then extend that charity to our fellow Catholics. There will be disagreements. There will be misunderstandings. There will be differences of opinion and different ways of doing things. Stressful situations might arise which tempt us to be sharp or harsh towards others. But we have to remember something. We are all true children of God and heirs of heaven. We are all in the spiritual combat together. We are all on the same side in this battle for the faith, fighting the same enemy, striving for the same goal, heaven. And if we stick together and we charitably work out our differences, we will never be broken. Like the Christians of old, we will show the world that there is indeed a God, that the Catholic faith is his faith, and that we are his disciples. For by this Christ said, "Shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." If there is one thing, my dear friends, that Catholics have proven down through the centuries, it is that they are resilient and unbreakable when, with confidence in God, they are united in true charity. And these are days that call for such charity. Let us answer that call, that we may, with Our Lady's help, stand united against the forces of evil on this earth, and ultimately, that we may stand united triumphantly in heaven, there to remain for all eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.